Welcome to Helly's Tech Tips. Carrie's Helly Tech Tips. I'm your host, Carrie Snyder. Today is the 31st of March. I've decided the main topic this time week is going to be tools that you need for your model helicopters. To start off with, this is going to be basically beginner tools. Probably for your smaller helis, like a Goose Guy S1, Goose Guy S2, most of the blade line. I would probably say up to the 450 class. Pretty much all the tools are about the same right there between all those. A pretty simple list. This is probably going to be a pretty quick episode. I'm sure most of y'all probably already know what a lot of this stuff is. There's a few things that probably y'all won't, but let's get started. The first thing I've got on my list is a cell checker, which is you can plug the balance lead of your LiPo into it, and it'll tell you how it's charged. It'll give you the condition of the cells, that kind of thing. The one I'm using is a Spectrum Smart, the XBC100 cell checker. It's given to me by a buddy. It's worked pretty good. The other one I've got is actually a programmer for a speed control, for a Hobby Wing speed control. It has one built into it as well. Pretty handy. You at the field, or you're at the workbench, and you're not real sure whether or not your battery's charged. It's very simple. Just plug it in. Oh, look, it's dead. I need to charge this thing. Or, you know, all right, we're good to go with this one. We go test fly or whatever. So that's a pretty handy tool to have. Real good to have in your toolbox, even for flying fixed wing or whatever. The next thing I got on my list is pliers. There's several different types of pliers that are very useful in all model helicopters. Best thing I could say is go to Walmart or Harbor Freight. You ain't got to go Snap-on or Matco or nothing like that. But the pliers I use are very small pliers. Harbor Freight has them in a kit. They got like needle nose, they got dykes, they got angled needle nose. They got all just an assortment of these little pliers that are like $2 or $3 a piece or something like that. So you're not breaking the bank. And you can hold back up on nuts and things like that. I also suggest a small pair of channel locks. When you go to taking apart the head and stuff, a lot of times the feather and shaft is one of the two bolts is in there pretty dang good. And a pair of channel locks to hold that feather and shaft is very helpful in breaking it loose so you can replace a bent shaft or whatever. The next thing is a set of ball ink pliers. Now, Goose Guy, with its size, they have their own set of ball ink pliers, and those are also too big for the S1. So really, they're really only designed for the S2. I believe they would work on like an Align 250 if somebody were to have one of those still flying, which would amaze me. But the other ball ink pliers I use work on all my large helis and a normal servo ball. I got mine from JR. You go to dforce.net and they got a tools section and they got all kinds of stuff in there. They got a lot of airplane tools, that kind of thing. I think these were like $30-$40, but I know there's other manufacturers of ball ink pliers and just whatever works for you is what you're going to need. Like I said, like the 450s, stuff like that, these pliers won't work on those. A lot of times I just take a pair of needle nose and get on the flat spot on the underside and just kind of just twist them off as gently as I can and to pop them off. And for the most part, you can just pop them back on with your thumb. No real big there. The next thing I got is Allen drivers. In this area, I do suggest spending a little money. I went to a fly-in one year and won some KDS Kylan nut drivers, or Allen drivers, in a raffle. And the metal they've actually make the tips out of has been very, very good. I haven't rounded one off yet. I haven't broke one. And the way I understand, MIP is a manufacturer that makes really, really good tools. The motor manufacturer, Scorpion, they make a good set of tools, that kind of thing. If you have access to a Snap-on or Matco or something like that, they have very good quality Allen drivers. I can say I've used cheap ones. The first time you put a little bit of torque, you're either going to snap the tip off or you're going to round them off, that kind of thing. It's kind of like a cheap screw. If you have a cheap Allen screw, you're just going to round the drive part out of it, and then you're stuck with cutting it out with a Dremel or whatever. But on your smaller helis, probably the most common Allen driver you're going to need is 1.5 millimeter, for sure. They're used all the way up to 700 class helis. It's probably one of the most widely used Allen driver in the heli world. After that is a 2 millimeter. That it's also very, very highly used. Between these two, I would almost suggest having two pairs of them, because like doing your feathering shaft, the shaft between your blade grips, you need one on each side to undo the screws to get your blade grips off. So that helps there. And the same for Allen wrenches. Allen wrenches is next on my list. It kind of goes, it's basically the same thing as my Allen drivers. You definitely want to spend a little extra money right there and do that. Let's see. What's next? Oh, a good set of calipers is good, too. Let's see here. My calipers are actually a Harbor Freight brand caliper. I think they're a 9-inch caliper or something like that. They got like a really, really small one. It might be like a 6-inch or something like that. But they're digital, so they're easy to read, that kind of thing. But like me, I suggest beginners start with a flybar helicopter. And with that, you need the calipers to measure the flybar rod itself to make sure it's installed evenly in the head. You have the same amount of rod sticking out of either side of the head. Your paddles are the same distance away from the head, etc. Calipers are used all the time in the hobby. I can't say for fixed wing. I'm sure they have their use there too. But like measuring your pitch links from ball end to ball end, it requires calipers. That sort of thing. Me personally, I like to have I've got an infrared tachometer. I got it off of eBay, like $9-$10. Takes a 9-volt battery, just shoots a red laser out. You put a little piece of reflective on there, and you can leave your blades off your model. You can spool the model up, and you can see how the governor or the speed control, what the head speed's going to be, and you can pre-adjust your throttle curves to the throttle you want, and you're doing it safely. You don't have to worry about the blades. You don't have to guess, because another tool I have, you have to have a second person there to operate the tool while you're flying the model, and it's just kind of a difficult deal. But I'd definitely recommend an infrared tachometer. I'm sure Amazon probably has a variant of it as well. I have not looked. But your smaller helicopters, I would also recommend getting a precision screwdriver kit. They got some of those super teeny tiny Phillips screws throughout them. Some models have Allen drivers that are smaller than a 1.5. I think they'd be a one, classified as a 1 or something like that. A nut driver for those, like the Goose Guy S1, the Align T15, those helicopters there have Allen screws on them that my Allen driver and my Allen wrench sets just don't go small enough. The Allen wrenches are supplied with the models, but if you lose those Allen wrenches, now what do you do? But after that, the next basic tool I suggest everyone get is a pitch gauge. And what this does is it has generally 0 to, like, say 15 degrees of pitch, positive and negative on either end of it, and it just kind of slides up and down. And in the middle of it, it has a spring-loaded clamp that will slide over your blade, your rotor blade. You clamp it, and then you adjust it to the pitch you're desired. Say your collective, the pitch that actually lifts the model off the ground. You say you want 10 degrees of collective for a beginner. All right, so you'd set your gauge to 10 degrees. You give it full stick on your transmitter, and your blade's going to tilt for your collective. And the back side of the blade ought to go down. And then you look at the top of your pitch gauge, lay an Allen wrench on the head of the helicopter, horizontal, and then the pitch gauge ought to be horizontal with that Allen wrench up there. And now your collective set to 10 degrees. And the same thing with cyclic pitch, which is what actually makes it roll and flip. You'd do the same thing there, just with a little less pitch. This is called a mechanical pitch gauge. There's a lot fewer variances or issues with using it. I mean, as long as you get that, you can use the top of the motor can. It's usually pretty flat and stuff like that. That's a good reference for a good straight edge to run your collective off of, or your pitch off of. If you don't have access to the motor can, or the style of pitch gauge you have doesn't have a flat spot on the bottom side of it, that generally doesn't work. So I found that even if a rotor head has a button on the top for slowing the rotor head down or whatever, I'll pull that button off, and usually there's a flat spot right there in the center of the hub. And you can lay, a 5 or 6 millimeter Allen wrench right there and just balance it on the head. And then now you got a perfect horizontal straight edge to run your pitch gauge off of and do your fine adjustments. Which I will demonstrate this whenever we get into doing a helicopter setup. That'll all be part of the video series, which should be coming up pretty soon. I'm going to set up a place to film that and everything. So let's see. With that, I'm going to move into some more advanced tools that is really needed in helicopters. Your electronics, for the most part, they do not have, say, the motor bullets installed, the battery connectors installed. They just come just bare open-ended wire. So you need a soldering iron there and solder. I just go to Walmart and buy that little bitty thin solder. It's worked well for me. I'm using a eBay special soldering station that has the little blow gun and the soldering tip. I also have a TS-100, which you can get off of Amazon. It's just a little pencil you can run it off of a 3 to a 6 cell lipo. And quite honestly, it's a awesome little iron. I've done up to a EC3 battery connector with it. I've seen larger battery connectors done, but I don't have a big enough tip to inject enough heat into my wire to melt my solder. So I revert back to like an old Weller pistol style soldering iron for doing my larger battery leads for like my 6S5000s or whatever for my large helis. So, I mean, in that case, it'd almost be good to have two irons. One to do your smaller stuff, one to do your bigger stuff, depending on what kind of models you're going to pursue in your hobby career. After that, they do have digital pitch gauges. Like I said, they take a little more work. You got to make sure the model's level, and then you got to zero the gauge, and then you put them on the blades, and you can't move the model, this kind of thing. They're a little more complicated for a beginner. The process isn't hard, but I think as a beginner trying to learn helicopters, it would be a little overwhelming. There's one called the Soco Heli Tool. They got a mobile phone app, and it walks you step by step through the process of what you need to do. And that tool is $70 if they're still in production. I haven't looked in a while, but I love that little tool. When say like my fly barless helicopters, I run the tool on those. When I put the blades on and take it outside for the first hover, my tracking is usually perfect. My pitches are set where they need to be and that kind of thing. And I usually throw my mechanical pitch gauge on afterwards to double check and make sure everything's exactly what I said. Because the degrees you're using on a digital pitch gauge and what you want look different, but at the end of the day, they achieve the same value. So, again, that's kind of another part of the complexity for a beginner. Why I would kind of lead more toward a beginner sticking with a mechanical pitch gauge for now. After that, we got a blade balancer. There's a lot of different ways you can do this. You can take a really long machine screw, two nuts, two fender washers, and you could just sandwich the two blades together. Like a machine screw that fits your blade bolt hole perfect, and then two washers, maybe two nuts, and then have a stem of washer or screw or bolt sticking out either side. Well, not really a bolt. You want it round on both sides, but you can take like two Coke cans or stack up a couple of DVD cases, something like that, and you can set those blades in between there, and you can balance your blades. You measure, let it balance out, and then you can take your calipers and measure how far off the work surface it is on either side, and you can use Scotch tape to balance your blades. And you can go as simple as that, or you can spend $100, go to miniatureaircraft.de, and they've got what they call a Kroll rotor balancer. It's orange and blue and all that kind of thing, and there's a CG for a blade. It's usually somewhere right in the middle. There's actually two CGs for a rotor blade. You got one that's in between the span of the blade, and then there's one with the cord, which is the width of the blade. There's two CGs right there. And to truly balance a rotor blade, you want both CGs to match on both blades on top of both weights being the same. And the Kroll rotor balancer achieves that on the span-wise CG. And I don't know that a cord CG would be that obvious. My flying skill, I honestly don't have the skill level to say yes or no. But I can say I can tell the difference from using a Kroll rotor balancer to my old ways I'm getting a far better balance out of my machines. I'm seeing a lot less tail fin vibrations and whatnot, and I'm very happy with using it. Let's see what else. Allen wrenches, a good set to have is find some that where it makes has a short end with the after it makes the 90, have some that are really, really short. A set of those is very handy if you have a fuel powered helicopter. Getting the mount bolts for your muffler or the carburetor on or off. Sometimes you need a stubby Allen wrench right there to do that, and that's also a good tool to have in your toolbox. After that, I mean, there's really not much left. That's pretty much the main tools you're going to need. Afterwards, it'll be just specialized tools for each machine. And, I mean, each machine has are different. So, right there is just where you have to change it up a little. So, that's pretty much all I've got for that. I guess I'm going to go into a few events that's going on. I don't know if this one will make it out in time, but I'll try. This is Fly the River. It is this weekend, April 4th through the 7th in Oscar, Oklahoma. It is north of Denton, right on the Oklahoma side of the Red River. I mean, the guy's property is the bank of the Red River. So there's no cell phone coverage. There's no nothing. You're about an hour, hour and a half from a local grocery store or anything like that. So once you're out there, you're boondocking it. So make sure you pack all your eatings and all your necessary needed items with you. It is a rotary and fixed wing event, more fixed wing than rotary, but they do allow us to fly. The next one we got is the same weekend, which is the Golden Triangle 4th Annual Heli Fly-In in Grand Prairie, Texas. And this is the 6th only. I believe that is Saturday at the Golden Triangle Radio Control Club. And that is 2720 East Seton Road in Grand Prairie. I believe the contact on that is Michael Rosnick. Their website is www.gtrcc.org, and this is a rotary-only fly-in, so it'll only be helicopters. If I'm pretty sure this is the club that no fuel-powered, no turbine. It's strictly electric only because they are in a residential area, and they just have noise restrictions. So after that, we got the Bobby Sellers Memorial Fly-In in Alvarado, Texas. And this is April 20th at the Johnson County Flyers. Pilot fee is $20, and it'll also be fixed wing and rotary. I did not get their website for some reason. After that, we got the Hotter Than Heli also in Alvarado. That is May 17th and 18th at the Johnson County Flyers Field. Pilot fee is $25, and that is a rotary wing only fly-in, so helicopters only. After that, next weekend is the Austin Heli Bash, which I am also part of the host of, and this is in Austin, Texas at the ARCA Radio Control Club. This is the 23rd and the 26th. If you want more information, you can contact me or any of my friends. You can also go to www.austinrc.org. And this is also a helicopter-only event. come nighttime, we'll probably have a few fixed-wing flying around, but during the day, it is primarily a helicopter event. After that, we got a little break in my schedule, and we got Superfly coming up in Lindsay, Oklahoma. It's at an airport. They're closing the airport down for us. The city pretty well caters to everybody that comes in for the event. This will be September 26th through 29th. And it is fixed wing and rotary wing as well. If you have any questions about that one, you can holler at me as well. I just have to look up the information for it. I'm surprised I didn't put it in my notes. After that, my personal club is having a swap meet / fun fly in Crockett, Texas. This is coming up in October 12th. I am the CD of the event. Our club is the Houston County Screaming Eagles Club. We kind of got a lengthy web address, but let's see. Oh, no, my computer moved. I'm trying to... It had part of my address cut up. All right, so it's www.HoustonCountyScreamingEaglesRCClub.com. Our pilot fee is $25, and it is fixed wing, rotary wing. You want to do the swap meet, you need to bring your own tables and chairs and whatnot. We do not have power. We do not have tables or nothing like that. It will be outdoors, so... If it's a warm day, you might want to make sure you have your sunscreen and whatnot. And plenty of water. We do have two motels real close by. We got a Walmart up the loop pretty close. So if you need to run into town to get something or whatever, it's not a big deal. With that, that's all the events I've got currently on my calendar. I'll probably be attending a lot of them, minus the Bobby Sellers and the Golden Triangle, because I will be at the Fly the River. I guess after that, if you have any comments or questions for me, you can contact me at CarrieSnyder@yahoo.com, Carrie Snyder on Facebook, or CarrieSnyder442 on YouTube if you want to see some of my flying. And I do have a few... I was working on repairing models for some people, and I recorded the steps of rebuilding them and whatnot. So I do have those in there in a playlist. So if you have any want to see that kind of stuff, I used to have all my beginning flying videos on there. I haven't been able to find them, so YouTube might have taken them down, but. I used to have from back before I could do forward flight to current up there, and I wished I still had the original videos, but I don't know where they're at. I think they're on a hard drive that crashed. But with that, I believe that's going to conclude episode 4 of Carrie's Heli Tech Tips, and I appreciate y'all listening. Y'all have a wonderful week, month.